Kripamoya spoke. Yeah, it was just too intense. Just too much going on that day. What happened to Sitara? Actually, I'll put it back on.
They had about 140
in the program. Yeah, this is like how we used to live in New Rajadam.
Okay.
Through the winter. We had straw bale wall, and just the roof was, I guess it was plastic, even though it may have snowed on it. And we had we didn't have electricity. We just had a big barrel inside, and we heated in that. That was a temple room.
That was a temple room?
Yeah.
That's very cold in New Rajadam. Very cold.
In the winter, yeah. And the men lived in the barn. And they bathed out of a big barrel. Filled with water, so in the morning when they got up, they had to break the ice out of the barrel, and then yeah, it takes. Have a seat. This is your chair. It's very wonderful to see that how ahimsa. Ahimsa milk is being appreciated, and ultimately, people who have a little discrimination, they'll appreciate that they have to find another alternative to the way people live in the world today, because it's just becoming increasingly violent and more violent and more violent, and it has to do with how we live and what we eat. It's a wonderful wonderful project. Not easy. You have to be brave, but better try something, even if ultimately I'm just trying to think who it was, but many of these philosophers said this thing: better take a risk and fail than not take a risk at all. And it's working, because it has Srila Prabhupada's blessings and Krishna's blessings. It's part of our religion. Part of our religion here. And then it's the basis of the spiritual world, is that God is a cowherd boy. So, and then everything spreads out from there. Then his associates are cowherd men and cowherd women, and the economy is based on cows and the work of the bulls, and their whole lifestyle, their whole identity. Abira. How does it start? Pulinda Abira. Sukadeva Goswami says, I forget the beginning of the verse, but Abira. They're Abira, they're nomads. It's a class of herder nomads. So Krishna says that we're from the Abira caste. And it feels so good just coming here onto the land, and it immediately produces a wonderful feeling, a religious feeling, dharmic, because you can't really have cows by themselves. Cows and bulls are religion personified, and therefore religion that harms cows and bulls loses its religious basis. It just becomes a ritual. And of course you need to add Krishna consciousness to cow protection, but just even taking care of cows, that in itself is actually a religious activity that has tons and tons of spiritual merit. Add to that chanting Hare Krishna, and life's perfect. But it's not easy. So that was yesterday. Well, whenever I was talking about Varnashram College and Prabhupada said, it's hard work. It's hard work. But still, I guess you must feel being very rewarding.
Some days are hard, but yes, very rewarding.
It's rewarding. And there's a lot of blessings that come with it from Srila Prabhupada. I don't know who asks for more blessings. It's either people of Indian origin or Russians. It's probably the Russians. But a blessing for this and a blessing for that, and have your blessing. You can get blessings when you do something. Just blessings for being. But yeah, we do blessings when we do something, and then you get really abundant blessings, especially something that's very, very dear to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, which is making Krishna consciousness practical. Not just a philosophy, we're not just a religion, we're not just out to get people to chant Hare Krishna, but we're out to show people how to live. Because ultimately, if you can't show people how to live, then very few people are going to be able to survive just by chanting Hare Krishna. And the alternative or the current lifestyle is not conducive for chanting Hare Krishna. So ultimately, this whole idea of farming communities, Varnashram, of producing your own food, it's not really some extraordinarily innovative idea of producing your food. It sounds quite reasonable. But as reasonable as it may be, that's not how 99% of the world is living. They're not producing their food. And rather what's happening is we're becoming more and more distant from food. Maybe at some time in the past there was someone who was a blacksmith and someone else who was making shoes and someone else who was making clothes. And they probably had their own garden, but even if they didn't, someone next door. But now it's not someone next door who you're going to trade or do services with, but it's someone not even down the road, it's someone in another continent where you're getting, especially in this country, where you're getting a lot of your fruits and your vegetables. Otherwise, just depending on English produce is pretty monotonous diet. But you can grow your own. Very, very simple life. And we see how rare it is that someone's willing to actually do that. Most everyone else, and I'm talking about devotees, just buy into the way things are out there. Well, let's convert the world. But even if we convert the world, we still can't feed them. So unless you can feed the world, then we convert them. And if the system collapses, or rather when the system collapses, then what are they going to eat? They eat their bead bags, or they can eat their computers, or they can eat their other things. So it's a really wonderful thing, and Sitaram and the Barbary family really deserve a real thanks for being for striking out and doing the difficult thing, doing the unorthodox thing, doing the unsupported thing, and for which you don't get scholarships and you don't necessarily get grants or patronship, but ultimately it'll be successful. It's what Prabhupada did. He did the unorthodox thing. He didn't stay in India. He didn't stay in the mat. He didn't stay in the security of Vrindavan. He didn't stay where everyone appreciates sadhus, but he went into a whole different atmosphere. And then 12 years, and it was the Hare Krishna explosion. Anyway, now we're having the Ahimsa explosion. And at least somewhere we can say that Hare Krishnas are walking their talk. Otherwise it becomes very, very difficult. My experience is very difficult to actually for people who are out there, and those people who know what Ahimsa is, and those people who know what our books are, and those people who do know what our philosophy is, what are you doing? This is, we're trying to make people Krishna conscious. What happens when they're Krishna conscious enough to know what Prabhupada said? And that's, so where's the farms? And where's the milk? And why aren't your restaurants getting the milk from the farms? And so why are they buying it from Tesco's or somewhere else? Some wholesale? And so it's at least it begins, and hopefully devotees will more and more see that we need to be able to show how to live, because Krishna consciousness is very practical, has a very lofty, high philosophy, but on the other hand, it's also extremely practical. So, Srila Prabhupada had said that actually worshipping Krishna, our deity worship, and our philosophy, that's for devotees. And for the outside world, our business is to defeat materialism, to defeat Darwin, the modern, not just materialistic, but the mechanistic view of the world. The scientific preaching is what we need to be telling the rest of the world. And then this from the other angle, and we need to show what's the alternative way of living, how to actually live in harmony with Krishna consciousness. People will read. Your God lives like this. He doesn't work in a company, in a factory. He doesn't do business. This is what he does. He takes care of cows, and he does it barefoot. Don't do it barefoot. But he does it barefoot. Anyway, thank you very much. And to everyone else who's participating in the project and supporting the project, and to all those people who are actually paying, and they're paying £4.50 for a liter and market, and the other regular patrons pay.
Members pay
£3.25.
And they give regularly, which helps to pay for the land.
And they donate. And Tesco's?
£1.
Yeah. Well, thank you to all those people who you're out of Damodar over here. Thank you to all those people who really you got this?
Action.
Thank you to all the people who really value milk. They don't want to bargain it down. They don't want to dilute it with the price of slaughtered animals and flowing blood, but they're willing to pay the price for what it really costs to produce milk. Those are thinking people. And also we have to thank them, because they're the ones who are actually backing this project. Now we hope more and more people will actually be able to appreciate what it takes, what milk actually costs. It's like you don't go into a store and start trying to bargain someone down on the value of gold. This is how much the value of gold is. If you want pure gold, you have to pay the price. Similarly, if you want karma-free milk, if you don't want to take another birth along with every cup, then you have to be willing to pay the price and adjust life accordingly. Maybe you're drinking less, and maybe you're not having curd sabji as often, but nonetheless, that's what it costs, and that's the price. Same thing that we do with deity worship. What do karmis come? How much do we spend on deity worship? For a materialist, you're just wasting money. I remember a long time ago when we had some issues and we're discussing with a solicitor or lawyer, and he was talking about what happens when sequestration takes place, you know, when they come in, and because ultimately here everything is public property, ISKCON UK and all the other ISKCON entities. And they said the first thing they're going to do is stop your deity worship. It's a waste of money. Got these statues, spending so much money on food, on flowers, tens of thousands of pounds every year on clothing for them. Why do we do it? Because we value it. We believe in it. And someone else may think, well, that's pretty... you're really throwing money away. But no, for us, here's God, and therefore for us, sky's the limit. We're willing to give, Prabhupada would say, why one dress a day, two dresses a day, three dresses a day, new dresses for Krishna. And the same thing, this is here's milk. How much are you willing to pay for liquid religion? Prabhupada says, without it, you can't nourish your brain, you can't understand Krishna consciousness. Anyway, there's tons of quotes. Unless you drink milk, you can't be Krishna conscious. It's part and parcel of misnourishing the brains, the finer tissues, which are meant to actually facilitate our understanding this really high philosophy. People first get a book and they say, well, I'm really having, and they're very open, but I'm having a tough time really with philosophy. That's because the part of the brain that we use for studying, who knows, physics or computer technology and so on, doesn't require, but to actually start thinking who am I and what the purpose of life is, requires nourishment. It's just like the soil requires nourishment, and that's what nourishes the brain. Alcohol doesn't nourish the brain. Meat doesn't nourish the brain. It just destroys it. But this is what nourishes. It's the fertilizer for the finer tissues of the brain, I would say. Hare Krishna. Ahimsa Project. What do we call it? Ahimsa Project? Ahimsa Project Kijai. And now we're going to taste.
Yes, cheese.
And we got cold milk, right? Oh, I have nothing against cold milk.
Okay.